Good afternoon, this is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this seventh Sunday after Pentecost, proper 10, year B. Our readings for today are taken from 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, 12b to 19, Psalm 24, Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, the Gospel of Mark chapter 6, verses 14 to 29. Let us pray. The Lord is here, His Spirit is with us. Therefore, we need not fear, because His Spirit is with us. We are surrounded by love, His Spirit is with us. We are immersed in peace, because His Spirit is with us. We rejoice in hope, for His Spirit is with us. We travel in faith, for God's Spirit is with us. Amen. Lord, we simply can't help ourselves. Every time we come into your presence, we are bowled over by the experience of being loved. Lord, we want to hold our breath and in stillness to wonder at the grace, the undeserved love with which you utterly overwhelm us. Lord, how can we not adore you, our King, our Prince of Peace, and the source of all our hope? Our hearts and minds and lives are touched by your grace and healed by your love. Wonderful, wonderful God, for all that you are, we offer you heartfelt adoration. Amen. Lord, we have come to worship you. You have touched and changed our lives. You are our reason for being here. You are our reason for being. Lord, there is no greater task to which you call us than to offer praises to your name. There is no higher ambition that can fill our hearts and minds than to lift up the King of Kings. There is no deeper love we can experience and no wider mercy on offer anywhere than that which we find at the foot of the cross. We pray for all your people who have gathered for worship here and around the world. May your Holy Spirit set us free from mere formality and empower us for worship, full of free grace. Amen. And we have our hymn 840. CPWI, be still for the presence of the Lord.
Be still for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Be still.
we pray the collect for proper 10, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may know and understand what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Knowing God. Knowing God. The book of Psalms is often referred to as the prayer book of the Jews, the descendants of Abraham. The Psalms speak eloquently of the relationship between the people of the Old Covenant and the God who called them into that special relationship. Our psalm today, Psalm 24, simply titled A Psalm of David, is thought by many to be written on the occasion of the entry of the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem during the reign of David, the topic of our Old Testament lesson for today from 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 to 19. If that is the case, David, having acknowledged that the Ark represented God's presence with God's people, and in order for Jerusalem to be truly the capital of Israel, it must not only be the place where the king resides, but where the symbol of God's presence also resided. He therefore resolved to bring the ark into the city. The Ark of the Covenant, which was built in the time of Moses, more than 400 years before David's time, was built under the instructions from God and had been captured by the Philistines. It brought them bad luck, and so they were happy when it was recaptured and placed in the house of Abinadab for 20 years. When David became king of all Israel, and as a man after God's own heart, he wished to affirm that Israel was truly called to be a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests. And so as he made Jerusalem the capital of Israel and built his residence there, he was moved to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the city. As the Lord's King, he wished to emphasize the presence and glory of God in Israel. The writer of the second book of Samuel writes, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000 of them, and with all the people who went with him, to bring up from there the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of Hosts. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The ark contained the tablets of the law, the Ten Commandments, that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai. The second set, remember, the first set Moses slammed on the ground in anger. It also contained a jar of manna, well preserved, and Aaron's rod that miraculously budded as a confirmation of his leadership. The ark truly represented the immediate presence and glory of God in Israel. Wishing to show honor to the ark, David placed it on a new cart drawn by oxen, with David and all the people of Israel playing music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. Second Samuel chapter 6, verse 5. It was indeed a grand procession. However, perhaps David did not know that the ark was designed to be carried by men, lifted by two long poles, passed through rings installed at the side of the body of the ark. There is also no mention of whether David consulted the prophet before carrying out his actions. To make matters worse, the writer of 2 Samuel says, Abinadab's house was on a hill. Verse 3. As the situation would unfold, in the midst of the huge procession on a hill, as the procession moved, the Ark of the Covenant seems to tilt as if to fall over. Uhaz reached out his hand to ensure that it did not topple over, and as he touched it, the writer of 2 Samuel says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uhaz, and God struck him there because he reached out his hand to the ark, and he died there beside the ark of God. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7. In the face of God's anger and fatal action, David was afraid of the Lord that day. Verse 8. He decided not to take the ark into the city. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The writer of 2 Samuel records that the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Verse 11. Having renewed his relationship with God and hearing that the Lord had blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belonged to him because of the presence of the ark, David decided to bring the ark into Jerusalem, this time doing it the right way. He arranged for the men to carry it as it was intended. He dressed in priestly garments, and when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed a lamb and a fatling. Verse 13. Giving God the honor due to God. And the writer records, David danced before the Lord with all his might. Verse 14. It must have been a glorious procession. The king and all Israel dancing, singing, and playing instruments, bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. That tremendous scene would certainly have prompted David, on reflection, to pen the words of Psalm 24. David wrote, "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and all who dwell therein. For it is he who founded it upon the seas and made it firm upon the rivers of the deep. Who can ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who can stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not pledged themselves to falsehood, nor shown by what is a fraud. They shall receive a blessing from the Lord and a just reward from the God of their salvation." Psalm 24, verses 1 to 5. It is certain that with that experience, David had a real encounter with the Lord of hosts. His knowledge and understanding of God increased tremendously that day and was expressed in Psalm 24. In our epistle for today, from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, Paul sets out for the people of Ephesus his knowledge and understanding of God based on his experience on the road to Damascus and also his encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit on the Gentiles on his missionary journeys. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love." Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We therefore are indeed God's chosen people. Paul goes on to explain that God destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ. Verse 5. In him, Paul continues, we have redemption through his, that is Christ's blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and insight. Verses 7 and 8. Today we are reminded of who God is, the maker of heaven and earth and all that is in it. God is in control of God's creation. This creator God, out of love, sent his one and only Son to die, to enable us to receive forgiveness of our sins, and therefore we can have, as long as we desire it, a right relationship with God who is love. This awesome God who is love has not only called us to be his chosen people, but he has made us through Christ his children by adoption and grace. We can call this almighty, awesome God, Abba, Father. As we are reminded today of who God is, what should be our response, our resolve, our commitment? Two things come to mind. First, the words of the hymn in CPWI 142, penned by the hymn writer Isaac Watts. When I survey the wondrous cross. The last verse of that hymn sums up what should be our response as we come to know and experience God's love and God's Spirit at work in our lives. Isaac Watts writes, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Secondly, the words of a prayer attributed to Saint Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits. Saint Ignatius prays, "Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will." Amen. As we grow in our knowledge and experience of God, let us pray that we will give God all the worship, all the service, all the praise, and all the honor due to God. Why? Because this awesome God is the maker of heaven and earth and all who dwell therein. Amen. Let us pray. O God, God of all men, God of heaven and earth, seas and rivers, God of sun and moon and of all the stars, God of high mountains and lowly valleys, God over heaven and in heaven and under heaven, God who has a dwelling in heaven and on earth and sea and in all things that are in them, God who inspires all things and quickens all things, God who is over all things and supports all things, God makes the light of the sun to shine, God surrounds the moon and the stars, God has made wells in the arid earth, placed dry islands in the sea, God has a Son co-eternal with Himself, and the Holy Spirit breathes in them. Not separated are the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Creator, our center, our friend, we thank you for our good life, for those who are dear to us, for our dead, for all who have helped and influenced us. We thank you for the measure of freedom we have and the extent to which we can control our lives. And most of all, we thank you for the faith that is in us, for our awareness of you and our hope in you. Keep us, we pray, thankful and hopeful and useful until our lives end. In Christ's name, amen. God, you are holy. You are holy, Lord, the only God, and your deeds are wonderful. You are strong. You are great. You are the Most High. You are Almighty. You, Holy Father, are King of heaven and earth. You are three and one. Lord God, all good. You are good. All good, supremely good, Lord God, living and true. You are love, you are wisdom, you are humility, you are endurance, you are rest, you are peace, you are joy and gladness, you are justice, You are all riches, and you suffice for us. O God, you are beauty, you are gentleness. You are our protector, you are our guardian and defender. You are courage, you are our haven and our hope. You are our faith, our great consolation. You are our eternal life, great and wonderful God, God Almighty, merciful Savior. Amen. And our Savior, as our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. We have hymn CPWI 370, King of Glory, King of Peace. Let us pray. Creator God, we ask you to continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace this day and always. Amen. And we would like to wish all of you a very safe and spirit-filled week. Remember to get your vaccination if you haven't yet, and obey the regulations, keep your distance, wash your hands, wear your mask, and behave as good citizens. Please be safe and have a very productive day. You are, whatever you're doing, take the back.
Thank you.